Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. My name is Dwayne. I'm one of the youth leaders with the high school ministry. I think you guys have figured out our theme for this morning. We're talking about love. Now, I know Valentine's Day is around the corner, and our verses are often used in weddings, but that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to shift our focus to the church, the body of Christ. Now, many of you know these verses. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. As you heard, we'll be in 1 Corinthians 13. If you would, go ahead and turn to those verses in your Bible. I want you to look at where those verses are located. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself, how did these passages on love end up in the middle of a discussion on spiritual gifts? We're going to read the entire chapter together, starting at verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully. Even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your love, and we are grateful for this opportunity to gather together, to dive into your word. And so we just ask this morning that you would help us to see how to live out your truths, how to make love a part of our lives. Pray that we would desire it, that we would pursue it, and that we would live it out. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine a church made up of merchants, entrepreneurs, skilled workers, and other similar people. They were driven people, but that wasn't necessarily a good thing. One scholar said that they suffered from a drive towards competitiveness, self-achievement, and self-promotion, an attitude of self-sufficiency, self-congratulation, and autonomy, an entitlement to indulge freedoms, and a tendency to overvalue gifts of knowledge, wisdom, and freedom over and above basic gifts in everyday life, such as love and respect for others. That sounds pretty similar to today. Paul said there was jealousy and strife amongst the church in Corinth. They were fighting over how to use their God-given abilities. So in chapter 12, Paul starts a discussion on the role of spiritual gifts. He describes how God gives different gifts to different members of the body of Christ, and how all those body parts need to work together to be a properly functioning body. Body parts don't just wander off and do their own thing. They don't act as if they don't need other parts of the body. And all the parts shouldn't be the same. A body doesn't need 8 eyes. Could you imagine if your mom had 8 eyes? Church members desire the most flashy gifts. Gifts that could be easily recognized by other church members. I think most of us can relate to wanting some attention, but just how far are we willing to go to get it? Do we do it at the expense of our brothers and sisters? At the expense of our community? Paul sets out to show them a more excellent way. That way is love. Love should be the pursuit of all Christians. Paul said that all those spiritual gifts, the speaking in tongues, the prophetic powers, the knowledge, and even faith, are nothing without love. Today, our gifting may look different, but the problem remains the same. We show gifts without loving the people we serve or serve with. We think our gifts count as loving the people, when really, it's only part. Have you ever served with a bad attitude, grumbling about what needed to be done? Have you gotten into arguments with the people you're serving with? Or thought about how grateful people should be that you did something for them? We do the task, but it seems to be more out of duty than love. Pride can be a major hindrance to love. It makes us stand back and say, look how much I've done, how much time I've given up, how much money I've donated, how wise I am. All these things are worthless if they're not done with love. When love is missing, we are far from unified. I bet most of us can think of at least one church member that we either resent or just want to avoid. If our words don't say it, our actions do. We see social media arguments. We see people hiding from one another around the church. We hear gossip. Division all around. That's not how things are supposed to be. Teachers shouldn't look down on custodial workers. Stay-at-home moms aren't better than working moms. Working moms aren't better than stay-at-home moms. We've forgotten to love each other with the love that God pours out on us. That's why Paul told the church to pursue love, and that's why it's still important to today. So let's talk about what that's supposed to look like. We're going to move down to verses 4-7. Now, this isn't a full list of love's characteristics, but I'm guessing there's at least one thing that most of us can find that we need to work on. To summarize these verses, love is gently caring for others. It's not jealous or self-focused or proud. It pursues truth and hates evil. It protects others and withstands trials. Love's not naive, and it doesn't despair, but rather puts its trust in God. That's what love is supposed to look like. That's what we're to demonstrate to others, no matter what our spiritual gifts may be. We should stop and ask ourselves if that's what people see when they interact with us. Do they see the love of Christ? The one who left his place in heaven and took on the form of man in order to fix our broken relationship with the Father? Jesus not only taught his disciples, he cared for them. He fed them. He healed their illnesses. He prayed for them. And then he took their punishment. Punishment that they deserve for their sins by dying on the cross in their place. And that substitution is still available today. He laid down his life for all those who would trust and follow him. That's our Lord and Savior, the risen Jesus Christ. And that was the love that he displayed. And that's the love that we're supposed to point to and remind people of. That's a permanent love. Which brings us down to verse 8. The love of God never ends He's poured out his love since the beginning of time. He'll continue to do so until his people get to stand with him in heaven. But you know what won't be in heaven? All those gifts and talents that we're so obsessed with today. Paul says that partial knowledge will pass away. Our knowledge will be complete. We don't need to teach anymore. All the elders will be out of jobs. We won't need doctors or lawyers or engineers or IT guys. Most of our jobs just won't be needed anymore. But love will go on. We'll get to experience the loving relationship with God face to face. The future we hope for will be present. We'll be with the one that we put our faith in. The nature of our relationship with God will change, but his love will remain the same. So our job is to show people that love, the love of the Father, who made a way for us to be brought back to him through the work of his Son. It's not really an option. The Apostle John says this: if anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he continues, and this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. So if we're neglecting to love the people around us, what does that say about our relationship with God? Nothing good. Now, having gifts aren't bad. If God gives you gifts and talent, use them. We're not supposed to hide them away. Use them to build up the church and your community. But make sure you're displaying God's love while you're doing it. Get to know the people you're serving with and the ones you're caring for. Listen to what they have to say. Rejoice with them in good times. Comfort them in bad times. Genuinely care for them. Love prompts action, not simply emotion. So pursue love. That is our job, no matter what gifts we may have. Because remember, they will know we are Christians by our love. Thank you.